Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 19th of March. I'm Paul White, and you are listening to the March 2018 edition of the Deeper Daily Podcast essay. My travels within the established church community and the burgeoning home church community have exposed me to both the wonderful testimonies of those impacted by the gospel of grace and have given me from time to time reason to wonder where we are ultimately headed in this wonderful message. While there are innumerable people who have shaken free from the shackles of performance-based religion and walked into the glorious liberty of sonship, there is a disturbing number of those whose spiritual muscles seem to have atrophied. Liberated and content, they aren't doing much to counter chaos in their own life or in the world around them. A sort of que sera sera has set in with some, and their resistance to instruction or motivation is upheld with a bulldog tenacity. For these, the word work has become a curse word of sorts, as any instruction or principle is viewed as a return to performance and law. We know that grace cannot be balanced with law, and that any such attempt will coalesce about like oil and water. Where law is introduced as the counterweight to grace, the structure will fall, and the performance demands of religion will choke out life and faith like a lid put on a candle. But does that knowledge give us the right to dismiss all instruction? Does liberty from the law mean that we have no parameters in our performance? Does freedom demand that we do nothing, lest doing something would lead us to slavery? As we've stated many times before, the missing ingredient in many grace circles is the proper understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Where the Spirit is adhered to, we walk in liberty and are agents of change in our homes and in our communities. But what does this look like, and how can we be sure we're following the Spirit? Since He's invisible and intangible, how do we know what is a proper Spirit response? Let's consider the ultimate balance scripture, John 1:17. One need not be in a grace community very long, and this verse will be introduced as the end-all for mixture. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we've all heard the breakdown. The law was given, but grace and truth came. One is by Moses, the other is by Jesus. One leans toward performance on our part, the other toward performance on His part. One has truth on its side, the other does not. Now, all of these observations are correct, but these are not all of the correct observations. Viktor Frankl said, "The Statue of Liberty on the East Coast should be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast." Now, Frankl was a concentration camp survivor, and his experience led him to an appreciation of the meaning in all forms of existence. It may seem odd to quote a neurologist and a psychiatrist in making what could be a spiritual point, so let's complement it with the New Testament, and then we'll return to it in a moment. Is there a counterbalance to liberty? If grace is freedom, what is truth in relation to grace? Is it enough to simply conclude that Jesus is grace and He is truth, therefore they're one and the same? And if so, why did John even bother to name them at all? The New Testament counterbalance to liberty, or perhaps we should say the complement to liberty, is responsibility. If grace is freedom, then we could say that truth is our responsibility in handling grace. This could be the answer to why John declares both grace and truth as coming with Jesus. Consider the writings of the Apostle Paul. Well, he's easily the greatest preacher of grace in the New Testament, and perhaps of all time. His writings are a sort of spiritual declaration of independence. He prompts us to hold fast to liberty, extend grace to our neighbors, and to affirm one another constantly. Now, if one were to extract his statements on grace and liberty and compile them in one volume, I dare say it would be a book all of its own, and it would drip with so much grace he'd most likely be called a heretic. But if one were to compile such a book, they would only be telling half the story. Truthfully, they would only be detailing part of Paul's ministry. Paul's letters may drip with grace, but they are laced with instruction. And he has no qualms in laying a grace foundation and then topping it off with practical principles for living. Now, for a good example, read Romans chapter 12, verse 9, all the way through 12, through 13, and through the end of chapter 14. Paul tells them how to love. He warns them against laziness. He teaches on hospitality. He teaches on giving. He shows the dangers of pride. He even lays out a case for civil government. None of these have anything to do with the righteousness of the reader. That point filled the first half of Romans. But all of those things have to do with Christian living. You see, instruction for righteousness is a dead gospel. It stinks of the old covenant, and it's constrictive to liberty. But grace without spirit-inspired instruction is a gospel that benefits no one but the listener. And that would be fine if we were not at all concerned with seeing the kingdom of God become a reality on the earth, if we did not at all care for our neighbor. Restrictions on our individual liberty should come from within the individual, but they should most definitely come. And when we hear their call within our spirit, they should be adhered to. Watch Paul put boundaries on his own liberty in 1 Corinthians 8, 9. Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. He even restricts his own diet in front of Christians who are offended by certain foods, stating in chapter 8, verse 13, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. I mean, his response could have been, it's not my fault if they stumble, they need to grow up. That would have truly been an expression of liberty, but an immature one at best, and most certainly an irresponsible one. And this is why I say that truth is synonymous with responsibility. Two chapters later, in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 and 24, Paul declares for the second time in the letter that all things are lawful for him, but that not all things edify, and that no one should seek their own well-being but that of their neighbor. Now, this is another blatant restriction against his own liberty. To the untrained eye, it seems self-imposed, but to those familiar with the unforced rhythms of grace, it is obviously spirit-imposed restriction on Paul's liberty. So while there's no tangible way to see exactly what the Holy Spirit would have us to do in regards to our liberty and our grace, it could be said that where personal responsibility is abandoned, we can be sure the Holy Spirit did not lead us there. Personal responsibility is actually a hallmark of a prepared people. We see Noah's Ark as a precursor to Jesus with its pitch, its rooms, and its lone door, and its dove. It floats us above the flood of chaos, just like Jesus. But the Ark is also prepared by a prepared man. Noah sees the crisis and does what is necessary to be in the right position. God puts him in charge of the beasts of the field. Even though God in his power could have simply created more tigers and lions and bears, why leave the responsibility to Noah to provide for them? Why should Noah save what God can easily recreate? Because the Holy Spirit lays the responsibility for others at our feet, and our neighbor and our city and our nation and our world is crying out for us to show up. So perhaps Frankl is right. Maybe there should be a compliment to the Statue of Liberty. Maybe a people so liberated and so free should also honor that liberty with a statue of responsibility. Or maybe Peter Parker's uncle is correct. With great power comes great responsibility. Either way, perhaps a monument to as much is a bit too much. We tend to idolize monuments. In any case, the principle holds true. The law given by Moses brought no life, but the grace that came with Jesus brought both life and truth. No statue or reminder is needed to do the right thing, just a little grace. Let's not be offended at a little instruction. Let's just be responsible. It seems the least to ask of a free people. Grace to you.